So the embodiment of all the compassion of all the Buddhas, appearing in the form of human being, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama, with my due respect, with my three doors. Gyaltsen Trungpa Rinpoche and Sherpin Changtse Churches, and then the abbots and former abbots of the monasteries, and Lamas Dulkus, and the monastic assembly, and Samdong Rinpoche, together with all the Tibetan dignitaries, and to the general public, I would like to as I have requested His Holiness for a special ceremony here, which has been very kindly accepted by His Holiness. I would like to first greet all of you who have come here on behalf of the organizing committee. So here, with Gyaltsen Trungpa Rinpoche, the different organizations of the Gyaltsen Geluk tradition, so with regards to the propagation of or the banning of the practice of Dölgyel, which has caused lots of trouble in this our monastic institutions, Gyaltsen Trungpa Rinpoche and other monasteries with their abbots and so forth, have made very clear decision to stop the proposition of Dölgyel, Shugden, and we have published a book compiling all these letters and documents, which we are going to inaugurate. So I would like to request, I would like to pay my respects to His Holiness the Dalai Lama to launch the book. First of all, so this is Venerable Chimpel Serpa from Ladakh. So I'd like to give you the purpose and the objective of publishing this book. So before introducing I would like to introduce Gyaltsen Tenda Lhentsok, the Association of Preservation of Geluk Tradition. As per the grant document of the Geluk tradition, which is under the auspices of the Tibetan the Religion and Culture Department of the Central Tibetan Administration, Sugata Rinpoche is the head of this organization called Geluk International Association. So there are 11 monasteries whose abbots are the executive members of this organization, and also so we have the six monasteries from Saragadan and Jepong, and the eldest one of these monasteries becomes the head of this organization, and the rest are the members. So the International Geluk Association is headed by Geluk, the Gaden Rinpoche. And then the members of the abbots of the 11 monasteries are its members. So from Jebung we have Gomang De Losiling, Gaden Sharte and Changse, and then Sera Che and Me, and Ratwe Monastery, Namgyal Monastery, and then the Gyutuin Gyume colleges. So because these 11 monasteries basically would encompass all the different Geluk monasteries that are cross-spread around Tibet. So we have actually registered this important organization under the Indian government. So this organization is basically set up to look after the education of the Geluk, these monasteries, and make improvements wherever we are lacking. And also, in 2014, the Geluk examination, grand examination, would include examination of signs as well. So this is a brief introduction to the Geluk International Organization. So the three different organizations that I mentioned, there is no other monasteries which may not come under, which may be excluded from these monasteries. So to the general position of the Geluk tradition holders with regards to the Tungel practice, stopping the Tungel practice. So this book is titled Opening the Eye of Discernment, a golden key to open. So Abbot of Sherze Monastery is requested to make an introduction of this book. So the embodiment of personification of all the Buddhas of the Buddhas, and the incomparable, unsurpassable guide to all of us, particularly those who are gathered here, and His Holiness Dalai Lama, and then Gaden Rinpoche, Sharzen Gajangzi churches, the abbots, monks, dukus, monks and nuns, and then the Tibetan dignitaries of the Central Tibetan Administration and the general public. Today, the document that we are distributing, I wish to introduced. So I don't feel confident to make this introduction in front of His Holiness, so I may make request, mistakes, so I would like to seek your pardon. So there are 6 points, basically, that I wish to introduce. So first is the authors, introduction of the authors. Is Geden Lhensog, Geden Chutim Lhensog, these are the three organizations who have compiled the book. So it's not some document that we have compiled under the order of His Holiness, nor has it been imposed by any individuals or organizations of the Gelug tradition. So this the decision has been made under the auspices of Geluk, the leader of Geluk tradition, the Geden throne holder. So since the people need to know how we have actually compiled the book, we are making this. So for many years, His Holiness has been, after doing thorough investigation and examination of Dergel practice, so although His Holiness the Dalai Lama has been making it very clear the reasons why it should be the practice of Dergel should be stopped, and after having done all these thorough examinations, some people say that His Holiness the Dalai Lama is actually snatching away the freedom of religion, which is totally untrue. So while the Tibetan Buddhism spreads all over Tibet, the followers of Dergel tradition say that Dergel is an authentic Dharma protector of the Geluk tradition. And some say that Guru Padmasambhava and Adisha, during their times, Dergel was actually bound by oath to protect the Dharma, and therefore he is an authentic Dharma protector. And then some say that Tukku Thapa Gyaltsen was actually prophesied to or asked to arise as a Dharma protector of the Geluk tradition. And so there are all these untrue stories. If we are not able to make this clear, then as Buddhism spreads around the world these days, if people remain ignorant about the facts, and they remain really they won't be able to see the truth. So secondly, I wish to give you an account how this book was compiled. So we have done thorough investigation of the into the different documents which have appeared since the Middle Ages. And made this document. So Dergel first started with Tukku Thapa Gyaltsen in 1600s. And his fifth Dalai Lama mentions that because of some devious means of La Agil, his mother, Tokugawa Gelson, became the recognized as the identified as the Tukku Then later on he arose in the form of his wrathful spirit. So during the fifth Dalai Lama's time, has given accounts of Tokugawa Gelson in his writings, and so we have done thorough investigation into these documents and given these accounts in this book. And the fourth point, the result of having done the investigation into the documents, what came to conclude is Tölgil is not only has not been helpful to the Gelug tradition, but it's in fact he has been very unhelpful and harmful to the Gelug tradition. And we have also made clear in this book what Gelugpa position should be in the future as well with regards to this Melvin spirit. Therefore, it is very important that we actually execute what has been laid down in this book. And then, finally, our sole leader, His Holiness Dalai Lama, vast and profound advice to us with regards to the practice of the Dölgil. And may His Holiness live for eons and eons, thousands and hundreds of thousands of eons and eons for the benefit of sentient beings and the Dharma. And I make requests, I plead all the Sangha members gathered here to make a fervent prayer for our aims and goals to be fulfilled successfully. So I request His Holiness Dalai Lama to open, to launch the book now. And Gomang Monastery's Abbot of Gomang Monastery, request the Gomang Abbot to offer the book to His Holiness. So Zeraje Monastery has also published a book in the past regarding Tölgil practice, and so they would like also to offer a copy of this book that they have published and also distributed throughout the world. So they would like to offer this to His Holiness as well. So, a book relating to Tölgil. Just been brought out published after having done thorough investigation and analysis into this issue. So I launched this book now. So in Delhi recently, Venerable Thepten Sabala and actually showed me this book in Delhi, and it's just a complimentary copy. I didn't read the detail, so but I just went looked at the table of contents. And so I found that it is the book has been done very well, and giving showing that they have done thorough investigation into the issue. So Tögel has been claimed as the Dharma protector of Jamgon Gelwa, Tsongkhapa. So many people have identified him, Dögel, as the timely protector of Tsongkhapa's tradition, and amongst them, I was also among one of them in the past. And so when I was in Turmo, there were the medium of the Dögel and Dunzin. So Gadong and Nejung oracles were not there in Turmo when I was there, with the Nejung and Gadong, who were the state oracles of Tibetan government. They were not there. And secondly, I, as a follower of the Pabongka Rinpoche's tradition, and Pabongka and Tejan Rinpoche were really great masters, upholders of the Lamrim tradition, and also the tradition of Chakra Samvara, both the male and female deities, tantras of the Chakra Samvara, and therefore, under their influence, I practiced Dörgel. And then, after coming into exile in India, Gyanpema Gelsen from Drepung, and also some sayings of Gyantongpun Rinpoche, and my great spiritual an abbot, Ling Rinpoche. So they were quite cautious to practice, to do this practice of Dörgel, and therefore it made me think twice and make do investigation into this case. So, of course, someone who is called a Tegpa cannot be judged by us, ordinary sentient beings, as we usually say, that we cannot make judgments of other people on other people. But I therefore, I did series of tests and then examinations, and many of them I have already spoken about before, and they are in the different books, documents. And so, as I said yesterday, I made this divination whether to stop the Dögel practice or not, and considering it's a very, very important issue. And so, when I looked back into the history, the fifth Dalai Lama was the most familiar person with Dögel. He knew Dögel Very well. And so in his 18th volume of the writings of Sawan Gyachin, and he has written this prayer to stop the Turngil. So this he mentions actually about this in his biography. So he says, due to some devious means of Kekasa, La Agil of Kekasa, the Tugul Sonam Gelakvasan's incarnation was wrongly recognized. And then finally he arose into this spirit, and therefore he caused lots of difficulties and problems. So the essence about Turgil is said by the 5th Dalai Lama saying that he was born from wrong prayer. It shows the cause of his arisal, and then his nature is tamsi, and a perfidious malevolent spirit, and then what he does is to harm beings and send the dharma. And as he was a perfidious spirit here, and he tried to go to Dashilhumbu, and there he was stopped by the 8 Dharma protectors of Dashilhumbu, who guarded Dashilhumbu. And then he went to Sakya Monastery, and we're reaching there. He was asked, when he reached the Sakya Monastery, he was asked who he was, and the Turgil replied by saying, I am the Tamsi of the Gyodan tradition. So Tamsi. So he introduced himself as a Tamsi, a perfidious spirit. So, of course, individuals have their own ways of behaving and so forth, but whatever the case, when you are Tamsi, then you, whatever you do, in the end, there will be always be a negative effect and consequence. And so, in the earlier part of his life, Pabongka Rinpoche was a Rimi practitioner and was really highly regarded by the 13th Dalai Lama. So he was a great Lama at that time, but later on, he became a practitioner of Turngil. So the Dapu Dorje Chang, Turngil was not some kind of a vision that appeared to Dapu Dorje Chang, who really used to have great visions. And then, with regard to entrusting one's life to Turngil, it is usually claimed that this came from Dapu Dorje Chang, but it's not part of his collected writings as well. So when Pabongka Rinpoche was considering to receive some teachings from Dojue Bumsang, then there were some kind of omens that desisted him from going forth to receive this teaching. And then later on, he even said that Dengzhi Yangsang should not be depicted in the Lama Chöpa merit field. So before that, he in Chusang Ritu, when he did his retreat on Dengzhi Yangsang, the extremely secret Hayagriva, and Chichan Rinpoche was a very, very small boy at that time, and And so, Pabongka Rinpoche had done his retreat, and And the attendants of Pabongka Rinpoche were later on making some kind of a special pills or some kind of ingredients they were preparing. And when Tsigang Rinpoche, as the little boy, asked them what that they were doing, they said that Pabongka Rinpoche had done this retreat on Damdin Yangsang. And this is the blessed substances from this retreat that they are making into pills and so forth. And so, Pabongka, of course, was a Geluk. And then Dagbu Dojichang, of course, was a Geluk master. But he also practiced the Nyingma tradition. And so he had the Gaye Dagnang, the pure vision of Gaye mandala. And so Tsigang Rinpoche told me that he had a copy of that visionary teaching of Dagbu Dojichang. But later on, somehow, as Pabongka Rinpoche became discriminatory, sectarian, then he even went to say that Damdin Yangsang should not be included in the Lama Chöpa merit field. And therefore, he was actually upset the 13th Dalai Lama, not because of doing something else, but because of the Gel practice and spreading the practice. So before the 13th Dalai Lama's passing away, Muru Dalai Lama had a dream in which he heard that it will be after the on 30th on the new moon day after the 30th of the after the ninth month. And so this was actually he heard in his dream this very, very loudly. And so when Sherev Singhe had passed away, Lamu came in a dream of somebody saying that my brother had passed away and crying. But when this in this dream of Dalai Lama, the voice actually proclaimed the death that it would be what was actually indicated was the passing away of the 13th Dalai Lama, and it was proclaimed very loudly. And so the 13th Dalai Lama actually had a broad vision for Tibet, and it was only those who were working under him who didn't actually carry forward in his vision. So he actually ordained tens of thousands of monks. Although he didn't give very extensive teachings, and then he also was very strict with the study education of the monastic institutions. He was very kind to Tibet and Tibetan Buddhism, and therefore the way in this dream, which was later on interpreted to mean by Pabongka Rinpoche that it was actually a prophesizing the death of the 13th Dalai Lama. So when such a thing was proclaimed in a very loud voice, which is not what it's supposed to have been. And the passing away of the 13th Dalai Lama, the Pabongka Rinpoche actually spread the practice of Dogyal, although he stopped it for a while during the while the 13th Dalai Lama was alive. And so I also made the mistake of following this practice out of ignorance. not knowing the clear history. So again, Lothar Thein and Rinpoche were there at the time. I told them that I have been practicing Dogyel so far. And between the Lama and the Dharma protector, it's more the Lama is more important. And if you go against the Guru devotion and go against the master's words, then So after I suggested to stop the practice, this one Lama told me that in the Tantras there is mention of going against Lama being very negative, having a negative consequence, and it doesn't mention that the going against the Dharma protectors is not said so. And so Shartze, abbot of Sakya Monastery, so after I made these suggestions, then many people followed me. And Shartze abbot said that many people have stopped. Even inside Tibet, they were said to have stopped the practice of Dogyel. And so there are people who actually deceive others by saying that His Holiness actually is propitiating Dogyel. They even show a picture of me, behind which is the picture of Dogyel. And so I wish to say something to in this assembly. So some people who propitiate Dogyel in Tibet these days say that Dunzin Thapa Gyaltsen's emanation. Not only Tukutapa Gyaltsen's emanation, but Jerembuche, Dogyel is actually Jerembuche arising in the form of a Tekpa. So this is what they say these days. And so, at the time of going through the process of dying, Lama Tsongkhapa actually was able to merge the mother and the child's clear light and arise into the illusory body. And so, what do you think? Could such a person actually be a Tekpa like this? So this is they are supposed to be praising the Master Tsongkhapa, but actually they are defaming him. And so we have now I've launched a book, a new book, and you should actually not say that, oh, this is again a book on Dogyel, and you know, just not be concerned about it. But you should read it, and this actually gives a true account of what actually happened, the facts, and you can introduce to others as well. So if you want to disregard it while knowingly, then it's up to you. So it's up to the individuals. After having studied the book, if you want to really do something which harms the Dharma, then it's up to you. If you want to do something that actually makes the Gelug tradition of some kind of a tradition that actually a cult follower of Dogyel, it's up to you. But without knowing the truth, it's not good to make this kind of wrong claims. And so there are people who actually knowingly make disregard the practice of Dharma and so forth in America and Europe and so forth. So in the recent times, some years ago, there were Shugden people and also Chinese side by side demonstrating against me. But in the recent, in the last 2 or 3 years, there were not many Chinese, but then Tölgyel practitioners were still coming where I go. As there were people in Australia and America in the last, during my last visits to these countries. So one Chinese leader said that I am a demon. So the first time I heard about this was when I was in Italy, where I was meeting some Italian mayors of different cities. And at that meeting, where I was with them, one reporter told me that some Chinese leader has actually mentioned that the Dalai Lama is a demon. Yes, I said, I am. I acted like this, and as if I have a horn, and said, yes, I am a demon. With a horn. Then recently I've been telling Chinese that this horn of this demon is actually growing longer and longer. So it doesn't matter to me. And so people call me the enemy of Buddhism and also particularly the tradition of Jamgon Lama, Tsongkhapa. So as I've been telling, quoting Kajapalu's lines, where the Kajapalu says, an advice from Kajapalu, where it says that I have given my hard advice to you, and whether you listen or not is up to you. You have the freedom. So in America, I have security people taking care of my security, and also security in India. So the Indian intelligence department, security department, has said that there is a threat or danger from the Tölgyel organizations in India. Therefore, the security around my place, residence in Dharamsala, has been beefed up in the recent times. And that this is also the case in the case of the American security people. And therefore, the American government gives me security. And so, the practitioners of Tölgyel are quite rough. And first, they killed the director of the Institute of Dialectics in Dharamsala, and stabbing him. And also cutting his throat. And then, together with the director, Venerable Lobsang Jatsola, they also killed. He also killed another young scholar from who had come from, actually a Tibetan scholar who had come from Yunnan province, and also another, a second younger scholar. And they were actually, the director and the two young monks were actually working on some text, translating it into Chinese. Perhaps it was the dependent praise for dependent origination by Master Tsongkhapa. And also the many cases happened, like threatening the lamas, the teachers and people in the Tibetan settlements in Mount God and other places have happened. So the threat is always there. The concerned Indian office and officers, and also the American officers also. So we need to be very careful. So they can do what they want, but we need to be cautious if we get shot by a gun or anything like that, then we would have to suffer. So we need to be really cautious. And so the fifth Dalai Lama's text remained quite dormant for a while. So Gyanpema Gyatson was really strict about not propitiating the Dogyal. But Kyabje Chinyang Rinpoche, Kyabje Song Rinpoche, they were actually very strong propitiators. And Gyanpema Gyatson really opposed it and confronted this practice by himself. Ling Rinpoche remained quiet about this practice and very cautious. So Gyanpema Gyatson had told me personally that he was really not happy with the Dogyal practice. And so I was the one who caused all this turbulence while we were rather calm, while the situation with us was calm. So I could actually blame Baldenhamo. But since you cannot hear Baldenhamo directly, but I am here on her behalf. Therefore, so it is my responsibility to make clear how the things actually developed, about the developments. And after I actually caused the stir up in our society, and you also continued my suggestion and advice and did what is called whatever you have done. So, everyone, are you clear, Westerners, monks, and nuns? So, be clear about what you should know. After knowing the facts and truths, then it's up to you. You have the choice to do whatever you want. Now, the mandala offering. Go to page 79. What is mandala offering? Ma karma metoma dopema nasema chichama nyema dawa rinpoche do chole nambar geve keze uzula dami pensan tsoba ma tangwa meba tangye dongwa deta tingye tsoba tangyipa chepe pandela ma tangba zinla chepa doya yungso tenpe ma ta yungun keve wongbo tamche kinche zinpo chenpo chinsun jambe ma wangla san yishe tinsun zizong wangyo tsung So in order to receive from your holy mouth this profound Dharma discourse of the great vehicle, we offer this universe, this mandala. Please accept them for the sake of transmigrators with your great compassion. Kindly accept this. And by accepting with your great love, please bestow your blessings on all the mother sentient beings. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers. Meru, four continents, sun, and the moon, adorning it. The Buddha felt and offer it up to you. May all beings enjoy this pure land. Mandal kam nirya daya me. Jhanam La, to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened through the accumulations, through listening to the teaching. By the accumulation, through listening to the teaching, may I become Buddha to become enlightened for the Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly by the virtuous merit created by listening to the Dharma. By the accumulations created by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood to benefit all sentient beings. Is it? Are you going to go for three jewels or the two truths? So the chant master said the three jewels. So he was asking whether we actually said three times or not this prayer. So this is summoning the deities, Indra and so forth, and also non-gods, demigods, and others, different sentient beings to gather here to listen to the holy Dharma, which will dispel all the negative emotions. So enthused by your compassion, you taught the holy Dharma in order to rid us of all distorted views. Homage to you, Gautama. So he's always wanting what's other. So meeting with this human life and the Dharma. So this is some composition of Master Tsongkhapa. This will not be found again and again, but it's only found this once. And therefore, do not distract yourself with trivial things, but take the advantage, utmost advantage of this life. How do we do about with this? He mentions in the three principal arts of the path. The three principal aspects of the path are what we should practice, as Tsongkhapa advises us in the, at the end of the three principal aspects of the path. So all the problems of, that we face in the world, the root of all these is clinging to the self-cherishing attitude and wanting happiness only for oneself alone, being narrow-minded and short-sighted, we cause all these problems. So even non-believers should consider overcoming these problems if there is a way out of it. And the problems which we as human beings have created must be overcome by us human beings. And so this short-sighted, narrow-minded, selfish attitude, due to which we have caused ourselves problems, we should see that these are, I mean, this is actually a wrong state of mind, long outlook, and therefore we need to develop an attitude where even if we are not able to help others, at least restrain harming them. So we should really broaden our mind and do that. So we, as followers of Buddha Dharma, and particularly the Nalanda tradition, all the Tibetan Buddhist traditions, which are the followers of the Nalanda tradition. So one foreigner in America one time told me that when I say that the Tibetan Buddhism is a Nalanda tradition, this person told me that it doesn't actually apply to the Nyingma and Kagyu traditions. I didn't really respond to that right away. But this is actually due to the ignorance that the person was seeing. Gagyu, for example, started with the great Marpa Lotsawa, the Marpa the translator, the great father, who relied on many Indian masters, and mainly Master Naropa and Maitripa. And Naropa, for example, was the northern guardian of the northern gate of Nalanda Monastery. So the guardian in those times were not holding swords or guns, but the guardian was appointed someone who this job was given to someone who actually was a scholar of the monastery. It's because to defend the Buddhism from the non-Buddhist traditions. And therefore, when non-Buddhists came to challenge the Buddhists, these scholars, the guardians, were actually assigned to face them. And therefore, they did discussions with these non-Buddhists, and when the non-Buddhists actually could not challenge them, they leave the monastery. And when such a thing cannot be happened, then they actually invited the non-Buddhists inside the monastery and then debated. And so Naropa was the northern guardian of Nalanda Monastery at that time. And then the Nyingma tradition, Shantarakshita, goes back to Shantarakshita and also Guru Padmasambhava. So Guru Padmasambhava, the Master Shantarakshita, who was from the Nalanda Monastic Institution, actually took the responsibility of teaching Buddhism to the Tibetans, and also gave giving ordination and so forth. Whereas Guru Pratapsambhava was responsible for giving the tantric teachings as of Gage and so forth. And so, Guru Padmasambhava was among the eight Vidyadharas of India. And then the Sakya tradition started with Birwapa, who used to be called Dharmapala in the elder Dharmapala when he was in Nalanda, a great scholar of Nalanda. And so he actually has written, he wrote a commentary on the 400 verses of Aryadeva and commented, interpreted according to the Chittamatra philosophy. And so these great Tibetan Buddhist traditions go back to the Nalanda tradition, and even the Chonang tradition has its source in the Nalanda tradition. And then, not only this, Burn tradition, of course, in the beginning, it was an indigenous Tibetan religion that spread in Xiangxiong. And so some Gyeongbo texts say that criticizes the Tibetan king Songtsen Gampo, criticizes him. And so, of course, this is because Songtsen Gampo took Buddhism from India, while in Tibet already had the Burn tradition on its soil. So we have today in the Burmese tradition the Heart Sutra and so forth. And so today, in Solon, in Himachal Pradesh, there is the Menri institution of the Burn tradition. They also have the study of the classic texts. I have been there several times, and at one time they actually held a debate session during which they were even quoting from the Madhyamaka Avatara by Chandrakirti. And so they also study these texts written by the Nalanda masters. And then there is the nine yanas, the nine vehicles that that are actually taught in the Burn tradition today, which came from the Nyingma tradition, the Dzogchen, nine yanas of Dzogchen tradition. So it would be very difficult to actually put up with challenges if you say Dzogchen actually existed in Tibet before Guru Padmasambhava came. So I told the Venerable Tenzin Namdakla, the late Tenzin Namdakla, that it would be difficult to say that Dzogchen was actually extant in Tibet before Buddhism came to Tibet. So I told him that if Dzogchen already existed in Tibet, then there was no need for Tisong Detsen to invite the Guru Padmasambhava and gave all these teachings. So he said, that's true. And then in our Tibetan Buddhist tradition, these days we have different practices, such as regaining someone's called animal spirit, and also doing some rituals for wealth, and also using all kinds of musical instruments during rituals. So I don't think Nagarjuna was playing some kind of a cymbal and called and then Aryadeva some drum and so forth. And so Tantra is something which need to be practiced in secrecy. So in any case, the origin of Tibetan Buddhism is in Nalanda tradition. So even Burmese are studying them. And so all the Tibetan Buddhist traditions study these classic texts written by the Nalanda masters and also the Burmese tradition. And so in Bodh Gaya, once we had a very good an assembly of monastics from all kinds of traditions, and people have told me that the Burmese monks were really good at debate. So, and one said that Burmbo is not a Nangpa, Nangpa actually came, Nangpa Sangyeba, or Buddhism came from India, and some Burmbo's complaints to me, how come Burmbo is not a Nangpa? So this term made some made them some uncomfortable. So I received some books at one point. They were that were published by some. And so some monk came to me and gave me some books that he has written. And I told him that I once received a letter from some Burmbo who said that he disagreed with me for saying that Burmbo tradition is not a Nangpa tradition. So he told me that actually it was him. So when he presented me the book, he has actually collected lots of... So he actually had given accounts of how Buddhist masters have actually caused decline to Burmbo tradition. And he also had said that Songtsen Gampo was a really bad king of Tibet for causing decline, destroying Buddhist and Burmbo tradition. So in Tibet, the Tibetan government in the past used to actually take care of the Burmbo tradition in Tsongtob Gyel and Rala Yongdu. And I'm quite sure that they... So either Rala Yongdongling or Sabaling or from some Burmbo monastery, they came to a particular place in Lhasa to do some ritual, to making incense offerings. So I remember this. So the Tibetan government in the old times also looked after the Burmbo tradition. And then during the 5th Dalai Lama's time, when the Ladakh Muslims from Ladakh came to Tibet, he actually offered them a plot of land to set up a mosque. And so the Tibetan government actually was looking after the different religious traditions. And then during the 7th Dalai Lama also, it mentions, I saw it somewhere in some documents written that was compiled by some Westerner, where it mentioned that some people who came who had white hats, land of the white, who came from the land of white hats, referring to the Westerners. Perhaps it was term was used because the Westerners have fair complexion and also blonde hair. And so they actually said that they are very good in helping with medical care for people, and therefore we should take care of them. So such is written during the time of the in the documents written in the seventh Dalai Lama's times. So the Tibetan government actually took care of all kinds of people from different religious backgrounds. So what I wish to actually tell you is, we follow the pure Nalanda, true Nalanda tradition. So we have to be able to actually be proud of it. And so the texts written by the Nalanda masters are the means for us to tame our mind. These are the texts. The Nalanda texts are the best for cultivating altruism and also understanding of emptiness. So even if we were to search for some other books in the three world systems, we won't be able to find texts which are greater than this. So we cannot do this by doing all kinds of tantric rituals of making torjak and so forth. So we need to really take interest and pay attention to these Nalanda texts. Otherwise, we sometimes pay more attention to some things which are periphery and don't really go to the root. So it's very important it's very important for us to take care of the mainstream explanation of Buddhism, which we seem to be quite neglect, whereas we seem to pay more attention to teachings which are meant for very specific disciples. And so there are some Chinese also who run after some kind of whimsical claims that Shugden would help to gain wealth. So after having propitiated Shugden, we have no billionaires or millionaires even amongst us. So there are no Tibetans who are millionaires and billionaires and multi-billionaires and so forth. So there are others, people from like India or in the West. Perhaps the Indian millionaires and billionaires may have become rich because of worshipping Ganesh. So perhaps Ganesh would have regurgitated the gold coins from his trunk or mouth. So there are these billionaires and millionaires have not become so rich because of doing some wealth pot initiation rituals and so forth. So Master Tsongkhapa and his eight main disciples who went out in hermitage with him, of course, were living a very, very poor life. And so Dogden Jambe Gyatso was even said to have taken the juniper seeds at one point. And so he practiced julin and was said to have taken juniper seeds. And then to renovate and the Maitreya statue in Jingqi, Je Tsongkhapa actually did some ritual of Vaishravana. So, of course, someone like him who has real realization and to actually invoke the deities and make them to work for the benefit of Dharma and sentient beings can be, do this kind of thing. And otherwise not. We ordinary beings may not be able to. So by studying the text, we will be able to preserve and promote the this Nalanda tradition, and not just doing prayers. And therefore, this is the time for us to make to achieve a great to make great strides of achievements in this life. And therefore, in this life, we should cultivate the different experiences where it's not yet there, and make further progress where we have already made. And through this, we have to make this life meaningful. And therefore, we need to be able to, we need to recognize this treasure that we have, the Buddhism and Nalanda tradition. And therefore, when it comes to practicing the Dharma, we need to combine listening, studying, reflecting, and meditation together without divorcing one from the other. So did you recite the Lekchen Yingpo by Jitongkapa? And Sarah May recited the Chittamatra part of Lekchen Yingpo, this essence of true eloquence, as it's translated as by Bob Thurman. So did Sarah J also recite this text? So his Holiness said, that's good. So I always carry with me Dangyan Lekchen Yingpo, this text, the true essence of true eloquence, also, and also the praise to the Buddha for teaching dependent origination by Master Tsongkhapa. So I recite, recited this second text. So as I, as you started the Lama Chöpa talk offering yesterday, I actually took leave from you, and when I reached the, my room, and I read the essence of true eloquence from the beginning, few pages, and then I read the Madhyamaka part, where a section on Madhyamaka tradition philosophy. So I read the part which comments on these lines from Master Chandragupta's Madhyamaka Avatara, which was actually the rejection of objective existence, criticizing the Svatantrika Madhyamaka view and so forth. So our self-cherishing attitude and grasping at true existence are the, our enemies, which actually harm us. So if we can actually make these two dumbfounded and embarrassed, then we could do that by actually studying these texts and thinking about along the different three different reasonings that are given in this these particular verses. And so it could actually make us feel something is happening there when we think about how things are merely designated, and that things are merely nominal and designated. So, of course, the term designated existence is something which is used even when we study the collected topics. But the meaning is different when it comes to the Madhyamaka tradition, where and so through this kind of study and then reflection and thinking about the meaning of what is meant by nominal, mere being, things being merely nominal and designated, it really helps to overpower this the grasping at true existence. So first, let's go through the great Fifth Dalai Lama's Jambel Shelung words of Manjushri. So the fifth Dalai Lama was a great master, a great, incredibly great being. So guides to the stages of the Path of Enlightenment titled Words of Manjushri is the title. So since we do not have this full translation yet, we are going to do whatever we can with these two texts that Isan is going to cover today. So from the Ocean of Moon of Two Collections, Unifying the Method and Wisdom, well-developed the branches of major and minor science, and unagreeable to behold, on the peak of which the maturation of the fruit of 100 taste of unsurpassed state that makes one know all aspects omniscient or omniscience. And so this first verse is a praise to the homage to Buddha Shakyamuni, and and then comes homage to the Master Atisha. And then the Kadampa tradition. So when all the profound and vast systems of teaching sunk in the ocean of weak forbearance, well skilled in raising it, the tortoise of explanation, dialectical discussion, and composition, known as the two great pioneers, trailblazers, I praise them, whose fame crossed the domain of cycle of existence. So this is Masanagarjuna Sangha, and then after that comes Master Atisha, and then Master Tsongkhapa, and then Master Kundun Benchon Lhundup, who was one of the main masters of the fifth Dalai Lama. And Yongzhen Kunjong Chenpel also was. So the fifth Dalai Lama praised these two masters. Kundun Benchon Lhundup was a Rime, a non-sectarian practitioner. So Kundun Benchon Lhundup may have influence on the fifth Dalai Lama being non-sectarian as well. And so when the son of the conqueror, with regard to Kundun Benchon Lhundup, it says, when the son of the conqueror is obscured by the action and delusion and sets dormant in the western mountains, the venerable teacher who emerged from the weak mind of the eastern earth, you who is the kinsman of the Kunda flower of Kundun, is the crown ornament. The source of the four spontaneous bodies is a spiritual friend who due to entrance of Manjushri in his thought, had gained power to ceaseless wealth of sublime Dharma that possesses the glory of virtue in beginning, middle, and end. From your cooling rays of virtuous activities, through thoroughly prospered the foster mother of elegant moon teaching, and from which arose the diamond to benefit and for benefit and peace in this life and the lives of others. You are the one that bestows and offers by dispelling the poverty of cyclic existence. And so one Lama told me that he just reads through the text, and then at the end he said, having given this explanation through various hundreds of reasonings and scriptural quotations and so forth, so here in this lines of homage and and so forth, Master, the fifth Dalai Lama was actually showing humility, and then right after that he was a little bit boastful, and so that's where his audience commented about some lamas giving reading through. So in order to practice this guide of the stages of the path of the three beings, which by collecting together all the essential points of all scriptures of the Gun, the Tathagata, leads to the fortunate persons to the state of Buddhahood, the practitioner also should listen from the spiritual friend who has uninterrupted lineage. For this reason, it is said, the path of the profound view and the vast conduct that well transmitted from the two trail blazers. And similarly, showing the greatness of the author, in order to show the authenticity of the teaching, source of the teaching, and then possessing the fifth instruction that passed through the uninterrupted sublime beings, right from the completely enlightened Buddha and so forth. If we examine or discern this word, it is very powerful. So these lines come from the concise Lamrim. And then the fifth Dalai Lama, if we discern these words, they are very powerful. So the stages of the transmission right from our teacher, the son of Suddhodana, until to the Dharma king, Tsongkhapa, is as clearly explained in the stages of the path, request, prayer, and that is how it is still it still exists in that unmistaken order. From that time onwards, learned and accomplished students of Tsongkhapa who spread the teaching of the scriptures and the realization of Tsongkhapa in all directions, filled like the stars of the sky in the sky and the dust in the earth, and therefore it seems like the process. And therefore it seems the process of the lineage will also be equal to that number. However, these days many different things are observed, people giving teaching by merely citing the lineage, succession of the lamas and one's own monasteries, and without having any origin of the present transmission. So it is said that it is important not to make mistake here, which is the start of the auspicious work, and it should not be looked down upon. The questions of Sagaramati Sutra says that if in the beginning you recite the mantra destroying, vanquishing the evil forces, this refers to the Heart Sutra. So if you have time, you can also do on top of the lineage request of the lineage guru. You could also do the preliminary, the six preliminary practices. So if you have done the preliminary practices of purification of negativities and accumulation of merit effectively, it is said that the first realization of the Lamrim teaching tradition actually happens and while you are seated in the audience or during the teaching on Lamrim. So in order to attain the unsurpassed, complete enlightened state, for the sake of all sentient beings that are equal to the limitless limit of space, depending on the kindness or relying on the kindness of the two esteemed regents or the collections of the sublime teachings of the vast and the profound taught by the teacher, who has gone to bliss or peace, protector Nagarjuna and Arya Sangha, who without depending on other teachers through their own power, properly trailblazed the conflux together, or conflux as one of the stream of instructions, and the two to establish thoroughly, to thoroughly know the Mahayana doctrinal system of the superb works of glories of Dharma Dipamkara through hearing, thinking, and meditation is the source of benefit. And peace that dispels all the downfalls of the cyclical existence, and peace, as is said in the collection of hearing. By hearing, things will be known. By hearing, one turns from misdeeds. By hearing, what is meaningless is abandoned, and by hearing, what attains transcendence is of suffering. One attains transcendence of suffering. And Tsongkhapa also says the crown of ornament of all the scholars of the world whose banner of fame is vivid among the sentient beings. This stage of the path thoroughly transmits gradually from the two Nagarjuna Sangha, since it fulfills all the wishes and purposes of beings. These instructions are precious gems, since stream of thousands of superb scriptures meet or here. This is also an ocean of well expounded glorious teaching. And so, Magasana Agarjuna and Sangha have actually interpreted independently of other teachers the scriptures of the Buddha, and then their followers have actually written their commentaries. And so it says, and the complete crucial points of containing his thoughts have been independently elaborated by the two esteemed trailblazers, and then the panditas that followed them established it through the explanation. And so the Buddha gave the teaching in the beginning, and then the masters like Nagarjuna and so forth, also established the teachings by distinguishing between what are literal and what are non-literal, definitive and the interpretable teachings through reason, and then establish them. So the accomplished masters have practiced them, and the glorious logic, the Dibhankara, integrated all these instructions together as practices without mistake, as the stages for the path of the three beings, and composed texts like the lamp for the path of enlightenment, and disseminated them. Their followers, who are known as Joka Dampas, whose contacts of the three scholarship, ethical discipline, compassionate heart, are maintained intact, were like the space with covering the ground, and this land of snow was completely filled with them. Again, in order to dispel the contaminations of the defilements of lack of realization and misconception due to time interruptions, like a second great trailblazer, the great Dharma king Tsongkhapa, the manifestation of Manjushri in the form of human being in the cycling existence, composed these non-existent before great and well-expounded teachings, well known as great and small stages of the path. And so Tsongkhapa's texts are very unique and magnificent and marvelous in the sense that although he follows Tenrim Chemo, which was written by Tolungpa and Kadampa master for writing the Lamrim Chemo, the great treatises and the small treatises. And in the Tenrim Chemo, in the beginning, the outlines were very detailed, and when it came to explaining the profound view of emptiness, it doesn't have that detailed explanation. So Jerembuche's two great texts, that great treatise and the small treatise, are unique that in the sense that they actually comment on the profound view. The difficult points, wherever there's a difficult point to comment on, Jerembuche actually touches on that and then does a lot of detailed criticism or investigation and then writes them. So in that sense, they are marvelous. So these texts do not engage in for temporary adoption and abandonment due to craving to partial teaching of the scriptures and realization of the higher and lower vehicles. This exactly is in accordance with what the master Dumpa has said. It is my Lama who knows how to carry all the teachings of by a square path. In the case of a person who has not developed the thinking desiring to get liberated, like a criminal who is nauseating towards the prison through wholehearted fear towards the sufferings of the three bad migrations, as is explained during the individuals with small mental scope, there is no opportunity or possibility to develop unfined attitude to definitely emerge out from the samsara, seeing the whole way of samsara.
like the midst of the conflagration of fire, having even the slightest experience of disgust towards samsara, it is impossible to develop and find true great compassion, focusing towards all sentient beings. And so these kind of texts are written for three types of beings, as the three principal aspects of the path says, thinking about the how this life is difficult, this kind of human precious life is difficult to find, and that there is no time to lose, and one turns one's mind away from the pleasures of this life, and by thinking about the law of causality and the samsaric shortcomings, one thinks about going out of samsara. So the poverty of being deprived of dharma, even after lots of hearing, is due to the fault of not donning of scriptures as instructions. So what happens here is that you are extroverted. You have learned so much, but you have not actually related these teachings within your own mind stream, but you have become more extroverted. And so this happens. So when practicing such meanings, the application of the word of the three precious jewels says, as said here, it should not be case that one does not understand the crucial point that through the course of the establishment of scriptural teachings, the teaching of realization as a result is established. The great yogi, I'm not so fond of, I don't like the term whispered ear, whispered lineage. Jerem Boche himself, in his commentary on the five stages, fifth instruction doesn't mean that someone is feels dear to actually put down in letters what he has experienced, but passes the instruction from one ear to the next, from one person to the next, by whispering it in the ears. And this is wrong. We should, while we forget these classic, the great treatises, and if we only rely on a small scripture, like which can fit in your hand, and so the great yogi has to thoroughly internalize the instructions, does not refer to gaining conviction in small texts of the size of a palm, but it refers to the understanding all scriptures as instructions. So even though from the stainless words of the Buddha there is no teaching which does not explicitly and or implicitly show the means to achieve at least one kind of peace of higher status or definite goodness, however, for those whom it is difficult to internalize since they are profound and deep, the great commentarial treatises clearly explain them. Therefore, there is not even the slightest separate fifth instruction of way of practice that is not explained by the scriptures and the commentaries. Developing the conviction that during these stages of path, all these meanings that have been explained in detail in these texts and scriptures are completely present and included in these three stages as preliminary, actual, and conclusion is dawning of the scroll scriptures as instructions. If it is felt that when all these scriptures are completely dawned as such instructions, then all these words of the Buddha and commentaries could be established through hearing, thinking, and meditation. Then why is it that separate texts in the name of Lamp of Path, stages of teaching, the stages of the path are composed? So when sometimes we seem to have this idea that when you are told that you have to study, it is the responsibility of the monastics where they have this scholastic educations, where they study all the scriptures. But for the lay people, it's enough for us to for you to just recite some mantras and go around the monasteries, make circumambulations, that is enough, we think, but that is totally wrong. We have a very bad habit of taking an example of such people who are not educated. So due to time when the intellectual capacity of the followers are declining, it is difficult to gain conclusive understanding of those whose meanings are difficult to realize, and when it is too verbose. So there was once a Parshipala, one of who had actually was very well educated, and he was actually interested in the great treatises as well. He had listened to the teaching of Lamrim, on Ngulchu Lamrim. He also was interested in the Shunjuk, the Bodhisattva way of life. But he was not. He had not done studies of the classic texts like Abhidhamma Alankara and Madhyamaka Avatara and so forth. And he didn't even have the interest or for these texts. So one time he asked me about the after I have written some, given some teaching. Gave teaching on Lamrim, and I can also explained about how things are exist, and said that things are merely designated and nominal. Then he wrote me a letter saying, if everything is merely nominal and designated, then does it not actually go against the conventional existence? And then, of course, this shows that he had actually thought through what I had said, which is very good. So one time I met an Indian professor, and one day in our conversation, I said, there is no self. So when I said that there is no self, his whole body shook with fear. If there is no self, what is there? He said, how do we go about with karma and so forth? And so in the beginning of the 8,000 verses of the Pranjaparamita, it also mentions that the emptiness actually gives a fear to people. And so if you really give thought to such teaching and not without doing that.
And then it is not possible to have even the slightest antidote of the two obscurations which are the object of elimination of an individual who traverses from the ordinary level to the state of Buddhahood, which are not taught from the scriptures, including the commentaries. In this treatise, the meaning of all the scriptures are included, and therefore, by practicing this, the process, all the gateways of all will be ceased. So here it is giving an extra importance to understand the mental needs and the mindsets of different disciples. And then since the teaching by itself is someone which has been given by a person who has the omniscient mind, so therefore we have to generate a deep respect. And so there is no way that we can discriminate, and we should not be discriminating or even saying that this is not for practice or this is not suitable. And the fifth Dalai Lama, the sacred words of Manjushri is something which condenses or summarize all the meaning of the Lam Rim Chemo, and this is really a very short text which contains all the important meanings of the Lam Rim Chemo. So of course sometimes the sentence itself is quite long, but the meaning is really condensed into those sentences. The first preliminary stage, the highest stages of the path to the three individuals are preliminary, with what goes before the lower stages. Therefore, even if the great individual itself is taken as the actual and those above the middle are included, and also the path for the small person, which has been explained in the lamp for the path to enlightenment, are something that has to be brought or that has to be practiced while one graduated from the small person to the middling person. So in short, so while practicing the lower paths that are being listed in the lamp for the path of enlightenment, or which are prescribed for the small persons or small scope persons, are very important even for the middling person. Therefore, even if the great individual itself is taken as the actual and those able are the middle included in the preliminary sense, this confirms and it's similar to the process of guidance. In the outline of practice, the process of practice in Mahayana in general, and particularly the process of practice in Vajrayana, according to this during the mantra, even those topics related in the category of context becomes preliminary. The intermediary verses, the melodious tune of sublime dharma to the air of the one having abandoned the impure faults of the path and abiding unbiased, is heard from the door of mouth of the tutor, is found by the world of the merit of eons practice. Particularly the heart extracts the dharma possessing four qualities of all the learned and accomplished Indian and Tibetans is the medicine beneficial to all without discrimination. The second brother of nectar and a very difficult to find path. Those fortunate ones having the opportunity to practice such a supreme path through hearing, thinking and meditation should leave aside futile purpose of this life and instigating the continuum with intense and disgust. On the high level place free from commotion with surroundings of meadow, forest and flower, and in a small stone house where just you can fit at same time with a friend of second shadow. Therefore, the preliminary process of relying on the spiritual teacher, the root of path, it is two process of the practice of the path. The preliminary practice of taking refuge and generation of bodhicitta. The first, which is the preliminary practice, some scholars say that the process of relying on the spiritual teacher alone is the start of all the practices. So when we speak about the taking refuge in the three jewels, it is the gateway or it is the factor which determines whether one becomes a Buddhist or not. But even there are determining factors from the profound view side as well. But eventually, the real fact that determines whether one becomes a Buddhist or not is whether one have an understanding about the Dharma. And as it is stated in the Abhidhamma Kosha that the real teacher or the Buddha is the one who preach or who gives teaching, having understood the realization himself and having clear and eliminated all the ignorance. So first, it is very important to identify what is the real Dharma, the teaching, and having seen the features and the qualities of that, and having seen all those qualities in the Buddha, then one should be able to generate faith and devotion to the teacher Buddha. And if someone, we find the monks or those taking vows even in non-Buddhist, and we can see same thing in Christians. And of course, even in the non-Buddhist and the Samkhya schools and other Hindu schools, we see great practitioners who are renounced from the five worldly attachments. So here, when we speak about the community of Sangha, so when we make the literal term Sangha itself is someone who is aspiring for the virtues. So it is very important that the Sangha should be someone who is aspiring for liberation. And liberation here is the moksha. So without having that understanding, it is very important. It is very difficult that we are able to generate a true refuge in the Triple Jewels. And when we speak about the four great seals of the white or of four great seals, so even though we say that all the phenomena are impermanent and so on, but eventually when we give the introduction to Buddhism, it is very important that we have to lead through the first introduction on the Four Noble Truths. Having a brief or a basic understanding about the Four Noble Truths, then we have to contemplate further about the two truths. And having understood about these things, then we have to further widen our understanding to the further realizations and attainments. As it is stated, first, the instruction focuses on the two truths, then from there upon, it has to enlarge or it has to be further focused to the Four Noble Truths. Then from there upon, then the instruction about the three jewels. Then from the three jewels, from taking refuge to the three jewels, the instruction, then from there upon we have to generate the mind that which is renounced to the worldly affairs and the mind that which aspire or consider the next and the subsequent life is more important. But if it is someone who has ability to think about the teachings, then of course we have to practice or contemplate in this order. So the order that which is to be maintained is very important. So first, it's very important to have the basic understanding of the Four Noble Truths. So if one has such understanding, then there is a great possibility that we have first generate a conviction of the real teaching, then develop the faith. So the faith comes after the wisdom. So while I was going to while going to somewhere, we stopped on the way for a tea, and I went to the Jebel Hill on a pilgrimage. So actually, I was very young at that time, and the people who accompanied me was some people were quite seniors, and we in a friendly manner sit down for a little discussion. Then I asked them, are you all Buddhist? Then they say yes, and I asked them, what is the Buddha's teaching? Then he say Buddham Sharanam Gacchami, or going to refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha is the teaching. Then I asked him, what is Buddha? Then he say, we don't know. And later I asked them, what is the difference between Buddha, the Brahma, and the Vishnu? And they say it's same. They're all same. So if we do not understand these distinctions, of course, even though you may have a great faith or devotion, but without the intelligence to differentiate between what is the fact, then you may be led on the wrong direction by someone. So it is very clearly listed in the outline of the Lamb of the Path to Enlightenment that the having generated refuge to the Triple Gem is the gateway to enter the Buddhist, gateway to become a Buddhist. So before relying upon a spiritual master, it may not be suitable or it may not be appropriate to generate the mind for enlightenment. Some say there is no contradiction in merely taking the refuge. However, it is improper to generate bodhicitta because the topics about the small individuals come from the reliance on the spiritual teacher. This is not found acceptable because where the topics about the small individual, two levels are taught, topics of actual small individual and topics common to that. And what is to be practiced here is not only the topic of small individual that aspire just the life or the highest cities in future life, but it is the topic common to all the small individual, which is the foundational basis of the path of the middle and great individual. It is also stated in the Lam Rim Chemo that first it is important to give an introduction about the bodhicitta or mind aspiring for enlightenment. We need to have a rough understanding about the bodhicitta. So without that, without having such kind of understanding, we may not be able to fulfill or we may not be able to achieve a great purpose. So therefore, the introduction or having a brief understanding about the bodhicitta is very important. So the path common to the small person is here presented as a preliminary practice that is needed in order to graduate further to the middling and the great stages. To that, as a preliminary, the small individual is taught. Therefore, there is not only fault in being influenced by the paint of mind generation, but it is extremely wonderful. Therefore, taking refuge in the beginning is as set in the praising the praiseworthy. Where is the fault of your having not liberated the sentient beings from there? Where is that perfection as well? There is not even the slightest possibility of sentient beings getting liberated from the downfalls of cycle of existence and peace and enjoying the temporary and ultimate happiness due to other causes that has not come from the power of the Buddha. And this Buddha possessing such special qualities came from cessation, the sublime Dharma, and the true path. The proper practice of that is also dependent upon the Sangha at the stage of training and at the stage of no more training. Therefore, to these sublime objects of refuge, I will seek protection and support from today until I achieve enlightenment. After the completion of the refuge practice, I take refuge to the Lama and the three supreme rarities, bless and transform my mind continuum. particularly bless and transform me in quickly, cultivating within me the stages of the path of the three individuals. Say this with intense aspiration, 7 or 21 times, befitting the context, through the power of making supplication to the special fields of three supreme rarities. There is a special purpose of developing within oneself the cycles of visualization that will come afterwards. As I said, when you memorize the words, does not stay. When you think, the meaning is not understood, and when you meditate, it does not arise within. So even the Lama or the spiritual master has to be included among the three jewels. If the master happens to be an enlightened being, of course he will be included, as he can be considered as the first or the Buddha. But even the spiritual master may not be such realizations. So of course, then therefore we consider the spiritual master as one of the most important. That is why it is kept at the first. And especially in particular, when it comes to the practice of Tantra, so it is considered as the door to all the generation of all the benefits. So therefore it is counted, or in order it is kept as the first, even before the jewel of Buddha. Generation of mind, I will actualize the completely enlightened state of Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. For that purpose, I will practice the stages of path to three individuals. Second, the main process of relying on the spiritual teacher as the root of the path. As said here, in the case of spiritual teacher that one is going to rely upon, also his mind should be disciplined through the three superior precepts, should possess qualification of scriptural insight, of extensive hearing, spiritual precept of wisdom, realizing suchness. Spiritual qualities highly superseding from the students. As Lord Buddha has as stated very often, we can find in many sutras and also the texts of the Uttara Tantra and also the Abhisamaya Alamkaras. And especially when it comes to the Tantra sutras, so if someone has a brief or a rough understanding about the union of the bliss and emptiness, and all the other accomplishments, then of course we will come to know the importance of having relying upon a spiritual master. As said here, the student should be, when possessing five qualities, he should be free from attachment to one side and hatred towards the other side, should possess intelligence to be able to distinguish between adopting the right explanation and discarding the wrong explanation, should also possess great aspiration to a sublime Dharma, respectful to the Dhamma teacher and paying proper mental attention. When such teachers and students come together, then just as a bird with two wings can fly in the space with ease, it is not so difficult to actualize through liberation. Such a student possessing these qualifications should also rely on the teacher, and with regard to the process of relying upon the teacher, that too, the process of relying mentally and physically. As said, it is important that an unchanging faith toward the spiritual master must precede. Here, also one must see the spiritual teacher as one having eliminated all faults and possessing all qualities. However, due to being the period of argument, the Lama has mixture of faults and qualities. As said, here to the perception of those of us, the impure followers, the qualities and faults will come together. So first we should stop the fault-finding mind. If that is eliminated, there is no way but that one with all qualities will automatically come. So here, till is the characteristics or the qualities of a spiritual master, and from here onwards is the qualifications or criteria of a devoted disciple. So the spiritual disciple should be someone which contains five qualities, and among them the most important being that he is unbiased or not falling on either side. Faith process like the mirror that produces. It guards all qualities and helps them develop, eliminates doubt and leprous from the waters. Faith is a symbol of city of happiness and well-being. Faith is free of turbidity and clarifies the mind, eliminates arrogance and is the root of veneration. Faith is a wealth, a treasure and supreme faith. If that is eliminated, there is no way but with one with all qualities will automatically come. In order to eliminate the thought finding faults, or such as when a skilled physician dispenses powerful medicine, the disease in the latent form also gets activated and generates slight pain and then goes away. As in the case of way of behaviors of a neutral sentient beings, who is neither one's relative nor enemy, and who one is already acquainted before, when he did not intentionally investigate and accept. So, once if someone has a kind of doubt or suspicion towards one's spiritual master, then it is important that we raise these suspicion and doubts to one's master. And as it is said in the engaging in the deeds of Bodhisattva, that first, in order to practice the patience, it's important that first we visualize or we think about those persons who make one feel angry. So similarly here, it is important that we bring those suspicions or those points that makes you feel uncomfortable to be generating 100% devotees to one's master. So which will, if one brings this before one's master, ultimately it will be beneficial or it will help one to clear those suspicions and doubts, and it will provide a great help in order to generate a long-lasting and a pure faith towards one's spiritual master. When you analyze its mode of appearance, it appears through underpinning the moment of conceptions, then their good and bad activities will not appear, not as something happened in the past, but as something that is performing right now. And in relation to that, happy and unhappy thoughts will arise at the same time. Likewise, visualize how is my glorious Sublime Lama, his physical size, verbal intonation, and mental depth. In short, repeatedly visualize all three deeds, good, bad, and mediocre, including the subtle details like the way he walks, dresses, etc. And when you let them arise naturally, then the good and bad perceptions will arise vividly as if they are performed. And as I stated before, that it is only due to the kindness of our master appearing in an ordinary appearance which makes it possible for all of us to see and listen, receive teaching from him directly. If he happens to be someone reciting in the midst of the high of sky, then there is no way that we will be able to receive instruction from him. So therefore, whatever the false appearance or whatever fault that we see in one's master, it has to be utilized or it has to be transformed in such a way that it becomes a cause to generate faith within us towards master. This is no different from the appearance of extremely white snow mountain is blue in the perspective of a person with mistaken sense consciousness, and the seeing of a conch as yellow by the eye consciousness of a person suffering from jaundice. Therefore, you should think even in the fully and perfectly enlightened Buddha who has exhausted all faults and possess all qualities, Lekar, Devadatta, and Mudikbaya, etc., saw him as an embodiment of faults and defects. Arya Sangha saw Lord Maitreya as a female dog whose lower part of the body is being devoured by worms. Acharya Buddha Janapata saw Acharya Jambal Shenyin as an old householder using his religious robe's hat, turban, and plucking the fruit and many sentient beings in the barber's coat. Naraba saw Telapa frying fishes alive. The novice monk Sambhava saw Vajravarahi as a female leper. In the meaning of the Father and the Son Sutra, it is also said that Tathagata, by manifesting himself in the form of a devil, works for the purpose of sentient beings. When you contemplate and think that there is no difference between these reasons and one's mortal perception, then the mental uneasiness towards Lama's deeds that you have earlier and which appear as darky will due to this practice of analytical meditation, like the entering of a sunlight in a dark tunnel, the Lama will appear crystal clear, free from faults. Thus, to try to negate even the subtlest faults and to try to develop faith as much as possible towards even small qualities, it is extremely important, as this lies as the root of all types of good things and accomplishments. Such unchanging spiritual faiths may be developed by merely hearing the attracting fame of someone, even though he may not have directly benefited oneself by kindness. However, in order to develop great veneration, it is important to recollect the kindness. Even though there are Buddhas equal to the number of saints of the river Ganges who are endowed in the nature of being free from faults and possessing all qualities, but due to one's own lack of knowledge, there is no opportunity to receive their kindness. My kind Sublime Lama, in order to liberate the unruly, wild, and difficult to tame sentient beings, the self-embodiment of all the Tathagatas of the three times, have appeared in an ordinary form. Thus, in terms of having exhausted faults and possession of qualities, he is no different from the Buddhas. However, to one's own perspective, he is more than the Buddhas, because even though in general the Buddhas, while without destruction, fluctuation from the state of great bliss of Dharmakaya, manifested themselves in the aspect and form of complete enjoyment body for the sake of uncommon trainees. Since this very body is not the object of Savakas, Pratigya Buddhas, and the ordinary sentient beings, he appears in the form of a supremely emanated body in the vault of Jambudeva, and thus delivers the sentient beings in the path of maturation and liberation. Even though it is not the case that these Buddhas, due to having closeness and distantness, were specifically ignored or neglected, but just as the sun will not rise in the cave facing north, similarly, due to our having not the action or the karma, we do not become the container or the vessel of actually seeing these Buddhas and tasting the nectar of their speech. Second, the process of relying through practice. This is as said in the 50 verses of Guru Devotion. What need is there to speak more? Do whichever please the Lama, give of all that displeases him, make effort in such an analyze. So till here is relying upon one spiritual master through a mental thought. So from here, how to practically rely upon or to be service to one's spiritual master.
Mm.
It is said that the main thing that pleases the Lama is through practice. Therefore, the teachings that are taught must be established through the three practices of hearing, thinking, and meditation. If one does not relate properly in this way, it is the root of all faults. And if related, it becomes the source of all excellent collections, positive collections, as is said in the Buddha scripture, and the commentaries like the Gandhavya Sutra, Vajrapani, Bhisheka Sutantra. Therefore, gain conviction towards them and should be practiced without leaving them as just words. However, sacrificing one's life and body without concern, as is done by Saddha Pradita, is not possible to actually do it, and therefore they should be treated as objects of aspiration. Even in the case of those that can be practiced, it should be compared in terms of place, time, and situation, and the practice them, and it is not necessary to definitely apply it in the practice of the guided visualization. Practicing them in summary is the contextual meaning of the line showing a brief summary of the practice as found in the outline of the stages of the pattern enlightenment, and as such they should be taken as actual practice of preparation. Even though in all commentary texts this has been termed as the preliminary of relating to the spiritual teacher, and as such it comes in the beginning, however, it seems the intention was to indicate this as a preliminary practice of accumulating merit in order to cultivate this preceding analytical meditation. These days, it is not practiced in such an order. That also is the biography of the protector, Swandipa, and hence clean and dust the place and habitat and arrange the representation of body, speech, and mind of three supreme rarities and display the offerings, whatever you have. On a comfortable seat, sit in the full half-cross leg position and not in the careless way of sitting, and then undertake the practice. In the ancient commentaries, it is said that pledge being should be generated after purification through the mantra Subhava. In accordance with the teaching lineage of Manjushri Taglungpa Drakpa Lodo Yaso, the root lama should be generated into the protector Manjushri, and then in the form of supplication recite the several times. In some commentaries, the lama should be generated into Shakyamuni Buddha, and then visualize the lotus with many external and internal levels of petals, and then on that, the lama should be arranged like the deities of mandala. So, in case of Guru Puja, since it is related to Vajrayana, it is impossible or it is not appropriate for someone to recite it, those who have not received initiation. But other than that, Gandhalayama is a very short version of Guru Yoga, which can be recited by everyone, with the irrespective of whether they have received initiation or not. So even as for the Guru Puja, those who have not received initiation, they may not be able or appropriate for them to recite it. So even if they visualize the meaning of the sentence and the words, so even the sentence which reads like the emptiness, the union of the emptiness and the bliss, and which is no different from the spiritual master. So even though it seems, even the practitioner himself or herself may not be actually visualized or meditated in the same way as it is being stated in the text. And it is also stated as that the bodhicitta has been also praised as one of the most important aspects and one of the most important necessities in those guru pujas. So therefore, I also wanted to express something here during some annual Malam prayers, I've seen that they just keep on reciting the normal rituals and normal texts. Then I requested them that it may be even better to recite the Guru Puja. At that time, Bagula Rinpoche happened to arrive from India at that time, and I saw Bagula Rinpoche. And Bagula Rinpoche told me that if during the Molam prayers, annual Molam prayers, it may not be appropriate to recite Guru Puja. So even the great learning centers does not have the tradition of reciting Guru Puja, and even the Tantra College do not do so. So it may be due to the different lineage of the Vensa and the Se lineage, which comes from the central Tibet. And the Guru Puja is actually the lineage goes to Segu. So maybe from there onwards, so came to the eastern part of Tibet, the Mahamudra practice and the Guru Puja. And also Tashilimba Monastery do not have the tradition of reciting Guru Puja in their prayers or normal gatherings. So Bagula Rinpoche told me that when there are people, a huge gathering of people, so it may not be appropriate to recite Guru Puja. Then I contemplate and I thought about it many times, and I found that, of course, there is a reason behind that. Then I told and I advised them that instead of reciting Guru Puja, they can recite the two ornamental texts of Abhisamaya Alamkara and supplement to Madhyamika. So in that way, it will be also a reminding for them that whatever they have memorized before, that it, they can recite again during the annual prayers, and also they can also while reciting about the six perfections or the 70 meanings and so on. So while reciting the two ornamental texts of Abhisamaya Alamkara and supplementary to the middle way, in that way all the sanghas can contemplate about the six perfections and other meanings. So that is the reason, and that was the causes behind that the annual Melam prayers happen to recite the two ornamental texts nowadays. So many of the practices which does not seem, for example, in the Essence of Refined Gold speaks about the reciting or meditating, visualizing the mantra Subhava, which seems to be something mixed or something related to Tantra. And here it states very clearly that these are what we call something related to Tantra practices, which are brought into this Lamrim preliminary practices, but which are originally not pure, the Lamrim practices for the preliminaries. Through the truth of three supreme rarities, the blessing of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the completion of the two collections, and the purity of the sphere of phenomena, and through the power of my faith and belief, and by the way of blessing and transforming the ground, the throne, etc., reside. The ground in all aspects is pure, etc. So here it is speaking about the generation of the merit field. On that ground, which is like the blessed and transformed seat of the place, and the elements, and which is leveled like the palm of the hand, imagine an attractive throne lifted by lion, and on its right and left, jewel thrones equal to the number of root and lineage lamas. And due to the aspect of the being in the back, front, and height, visualize them in a beautiful shape like that of many level stages. So here it speaks about the extensive learning and the lineage of the profound view, but it's not speaking about the experience or the practice lineage. So, and after being invited with the recitation of the three verses, one who is the protector of all sentient beings, etc., the unequal teacher, the king of Sajya, who is indivisible from the kind of root lama who is giving this teaching, is surrounded by the lamas of the vast contact lineage and profound view lineage. Around them is the sanghas at the training and normal training stage, like gatherings of heavy clouds. So when we speak about generating the bad house, I'm giving bad to the separate, bad to the great Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Of course, it is a way to visualize. And in one part, if one is able to visualize or meditating about the emptiness or the intermittent nature of all the phenomena, that every phenomenon tend to change momentarily. And of course, if one has also the backing and support of bodhicitta and also the yogas of the different deities, so if we have all this collection, of course, it will be of benefit. But other than that, as we stated in the valid cognition pramana, that that the negativities cannot be washed by water. So it is considered to wash our negativity karmas, negative karmas by water is considered as one of the many signs of being a foolish. And Chandrakriti is also one of the great scholars, and he has stated in his text that it is a sign of foolish. And in the Tengur, the commentaries, we also find Tantra commentaries or texts composed by Dhammakriti. We are also doing an edit of these texts. And among the seven pandits, so of course, it is popularly, we have seen the text composed by them, which is the part of the sutra. So we are trying to extract or trying to see what are the texts that we can see or we can find among the great texts which are the part of the Tantra. And having all these qualities of having the practice of the Tantra and all the other qualities, and of course, if we offer a bad thing to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then it will be of benefit. So if someone in Lhasa, we have an event or a tradition that someone sitting on a golden throne and offering or giving a bad to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, so this, if we consider this as very easy or something that we normally do as usual, so then it will be similar to what Dhammakriti has stated as a cause of being, as a sign of foolish. And it is also similar to what the Hindu traditions or the non-Buddhists also practice. But it is different. Their view is about a soul or a self which is independent and which is eternal. But however, being a Buddhist who does not believe in eternalism of a soul and a self, then having all those understanding or all those belief, then still if we do without all those qualities or understanding, consider giving water bath, spiritual water bath to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then of course we are doing something wrong. Just as merely taking a bath, etc., and even though the concurrence of the Buddha's body, speech, and mind are without delusions, etc., so while giving the bath to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and one spiritual master, we have to visualize as we are doing it in real. And likewise, the verses related to the six perfections, etc., and the elaborateness and the conciseness depending upon the situation offered the bath, even though the merit fields in reality are not contaminated. So we will pause here today. So even though before offering the seven limb offerings, first it's better to offer our stomachs. So we will break for lunch here.